You're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, K224 CQ Anahola, K205 FM Honolulu, and this is Kauai Community Radio. You're listening to Equally Sovereign, and boy, we have a pretty all-star cast here today. We got a lot of people in the house. And so, yes, aloha and welcome to Equally Sovereign. Equally Sovereign is made possible by KKCR sustaining members in partnership with Crater Lake Spirits, Kauai Smoke, and Yakadu's Bagels.
Crater Lake Spirits is proud to support KKCR and the beautiful island of Kauai. You can find their full line of handcrafted vodkas, naturally flavored vodkas, gin and rye whiskey in select finer restaurants, lounges, and liquor stores. Crater Lake Spirits, from Oregon, with love.
Aloha from Kauai Smoke, located in Waipoli, next to Tiki Tacos. Water pipes, bubblers, vapes, CBD, papers and wraps, cigars, kratom, and more. Open Sunday and Monday, 11 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 6 p.m. 372-2572 or Kauai Smoke Shop on Instagram.
Yakadu's Bagels, traditional and artisanal boiled bagels, hand-rolled and baked fresh in Kapaa. More info at Yakadu's Bakery on Facebook and Instagram. Wholesale or personal orders available by email at yakuddusbagel@yahoo.com. Thanks for supporting KKCR.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR's staff, board members, volunteers, or underwriters.
So, once again, welcome to Equally Sovereign. And once again, my name is Kiahi. And today we've got, Auntie Nani, Auntie Punani Rogers, joining us in the studio along with, Michael Moksha, my co-host as usual. And, but also we've got, some special guests in the studio with us. We've got, Uncle Lico Martin and Auntie Lalani Teal. All right. Well, it's my pleasure to have you guys in the studio. We're going to have some Kani Kapila in here.
Hi. We are a very well-renowned, known duo playing Hawaiian music, and mostly some of Uncle Lico's own compositions, and mostly songs about sovereignty and independence and Malama Aina, Aloha Aina, all those different concepts kind of music. So yes,
terrific.
But we're, you know, not only music, but we want to pick their brains too, because they've been out in the front lines and have been doing it. Uncle is a veteran. He's a veteran and doing that kind of stuff.
I'm aware.
Go ahead.
Let me just, you know, I want to introduce, you know, the show for those that are not familiar. You know, Equally Sovereign is a show dedicated to promoting equal sovereignty for all in all ways, where we envision a world in which all peoples liberate each other and themselves from all forms of colonial or alien subjugation, domination, or exploitation. Mm-hmm. Once again, I'm Kiahi, and here we take a look at our kuleana to practice and promote equal sovereignty. And in doing so, we examine issues such as autonomy and self-governance, civil and political rights, and human rights, including the universal right of self-determination, as well as the responsibilities associated with those rights, both within and outside the Hawaiian context, as well as key current issues both locally and around the world. I also explore practical solutions to problems related to the systematic normalization of colonialism and alien domination, the prioritization of private ownership of surplus lands and other natural resources over human dignity, as well as the exploitation of societies and their resources for the benefit of a small minority of super wealthy individuals. So once again, thank you for joining me on Equally Sovereign, guys.
That.
Yeah.
Yes. Mahalo, Kiahi.
I don't even know where to begin.
No, I'm going to let Kiahi take the reins here and go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Do your stuff and, you know, introduce them and maybe they
pagpapain our song, and then we'll do some kuka kuka.
Yeah.
That story.
I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing your guys' music, as well as any manao you want to share. So whatever is most natural to for you guys to, you know, break the ice. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to it, and very honored to have such nice wonderful kupuna. Yeah. Yeah, mahalo for joining us.
Hi. And mahalo KKC.
Well, that was a real long rap sheet that you had. A lot of subject matters.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's a good platform though. So feel free to express your guys selves regardless of, you know.
So it's a song, at least for me. Well, you know, just a song that. Actually, 2016, Laulani and I took 3 days to go on the Queen's journey.
Yeah. Oh.
All right.
The story of us is told by the Queen. Yeah. So we went and we refiled her letters, took the train, you know, went to Washington, D.C., and went to actually file the Queen's letter, the 1890, protesting, you know, saying,
yeah, yeah,
okay, for now, but this is what it is. And so anyway, when we went on our march, just before we left, I was on Kauai, the upholstery shop, and I was walking over to the Kuʻe petition. I was thinking something with my mother had given me the Kuʻe petition. And as I walked across the short spans of just like this room, these words just started coming to me in the song melody, and I just went straight to a pen and started writing it down.
Wow.
And said some insight, you know.
Maikaʻi, mahalo.
Mahalo for sharing this with us.
Coming to you live from KKCR.
Others simply fled as the Marines came marching up the boulevard with their Gatling guns and their shining swords. Oh, the Queen looked out from her palace walls, standing tall for one and all, and her song of aloha still fills the and the marching band plays on. So patriots gather 40,000 strong to protest the taking of the sacred ground. And the Queen left her letter on the justice door. The patriots look on. Prison walls, he dies sleeping on the
sidewalks and the cardboard sheets and the patriots look on. When there's nowhere to run and nowhere you can hide, and the only thing you've got is to give up your life, and you can't buy in and you can't live free, and the only thing that's left is the patriot's dream. Gather 40,000 strong and protest the taking of the sacred ground. And the queen left her letter on the justice door, and the patriots hold on. Patriots gather 40,000 strong to protest the taking of the sacred ground. And the queen left a letter on the justice door, and the patriots hold on.
We're still holding on.
No. Mahalo.
Yeah. Mahalo. Well, Uncle, how are you here? How come you're on Kauai?
Escort boat.
Boy, I hope you stay a long time.
Escort boat.
Escort boat.
Escort boat.
We came with a bunch of youth who are wanting to stand in solidarity with the Protect Koloa folks, the Safe Koloa folks who are standing against really heavy development in the Koloa area where these ancient caves are being bombed, like literally bombed, huge explosions.
Dynamite.
Of these ancient caves. And so we came from Oahu with five youth. We brought five youth and three adults from Oahu to stand in solidarity with the Safe Koloa people and to be able to learn about the struggle and to join these young activists with activists who are standing strong over here too, especially the young folks.
Yeah.
You know, the next generation who are stepping it up. So Uncle Lico has been mentoring some of them really intensively. They went also to Wailua to check on the water theft over there. And
we went up to check on the water diversion. Wailua, okay. Which is being contested now in the court.
All the way up to Blue Hole.
And there was an expert hydrologist, went down to the river, hiked down about a quarter of a mile, something like you see in the Amazon jungle, going down. Took accurate measurements and then checked the flow. And for right now, nature is winning. Natural, it's winning. And nevertheless, though, it's an issue that, water itself, and water use is that's the key to the survival of the resources, of the whole creation, and especially for maintaining habitat for Hawaiian heritage, right. Culture, and the cultures of other people who come there and can use the land too with, and make it good. Mm-hmm. But we got lohis.
Yeah.
Lohis need water.
Right.
In the lower watershed of Wailua is 3,000 acres right now of tidal lands. Mm-hmm. Right now.
But
it needs this water.
Right.
See, so to reserve that water, that those lohis were made there for the water. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is not just a way of an economy kind of thing. It's a way of life. It's transformation, you know.
Yeah.
And so for the future generations, without that, you know, and actually if you, just in the context of blowing it out to the International Criminal Court, okay, forcing a situation of starvation among the people is actually a war crime.
It is.
You know,
yeah.
And it's, you know, it's pretty, it's serious. It's had its effects when you look at the land now, you know.
Yes.
The fallow, the lands and the things, you know, but the people, the movement of the people, the relocation, just the natural survival migration, you know, of 600,000, maybe more, the latest survey up in America, place.
Yeah.
Of, and, you know, there, over here, and this year, pretty much a part of the, you know, those who are responsible and those entities, you know, that function in less than what should be with respect to the usage with Hawaiian laws in the Hawaiian Islands.
Right.
Okay, to say it just, you know, briefly, but here we are, and I mean, rigid, holding the feet to the, like one guy said, holding the feet to the fire of the law, you know, is really important, and that is. And then there's sometimes when, not even that, as we're finding out now, like with the private, it's not the private landowner, he don't want to listen, he's, you know, but there's all these things going on. So it's really, to me, it reflects not just what's happening, but why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If something has gotten really, I'd say, malignant.
Yeah. Mm.
Especially in government, like Justice Jackson, when he describes the Nuremberg, the condition is malignant already with the mismanagement of the, you know, the resources, the beauty of Hawaii, and it's just right. Like, you know, and it's almost like something to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think we get this kind of trivial support, you know, for the entertainment value of Hawaiian, you know, what is Hawaiian culture is not just like hula skirts and Waikiki. It's like our food source. But see, the priority is like if it's not in alignment with capital and business profiteering, it's not important to the power brokers. Yeah, the politicians, they're not going to talk about why is Kalo not even on the menu anymore, you know. If it's not on the menu, we're not going to fight for, you know, reviving these areas and reconnecting to that, you know, resource, which is, I mean, regardless of whether you have a preference for it, I think we know based on our you know, past that it sustains us for a very economical, you know, it's very economical for us to eat Kalo and to have poi and all of that, and rather than I gotta go to Costco and I gotta.
There's better words to it. You can say sustainable, self-sufficient, eating Kalo.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
you don't have to go and work for somebody else in order to enjoy that. Yeah,
you don't need to go to the store.
Yeah.
Well, and in the theme of this radio show, you know, it flattens the hierarchy of power.
Right.
Because, you know, when if you grow Kalo and if you can feed your family with the Kalo that you grow, between you and the aina. Mm-hmm. And that relationship is between you and the aina. It's not between you and any governing source.
It's not moderated, yeah.
Yeah, it's not moderated. It's between you and the aina. And if you go and share that kala with somebody who then shares their fish with you, mm-hmm. or with somebody else,
yeah.
you know, and you just have a system in which people just give what they give and they get what they need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then nobody is in control of anybody else.
Right.
Everybody's power is something that benefits everybody else, because the more anybody has, the more everybody has, which
right.
is very different from the capitalist structure in which, you know, some get plenty and plenty people no more nothing.
Exactly. Yeah,
the rich get the most.
It's exactly the opposite, because in the structure that you're referring to, the only conflict you're going to have is because people don't want to share. If somebody doesn't want to share, then you have conflict. And it resolves itself by you know, forcing the issue, right? It's like, well, you know, like, share, we're going to gang up on you and you got to share. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the way the capitalist system works, it protects private property.
Mm-hmm.
So the conflict happens when you try to encourage people to share. You cannot even pick flowers at somebody's house without mm-hmm. them trying to call the cops. So... Mm-hmm. The system will protect the exclusivity.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's flipping the system, and I think we're starting to see that, how it's
part of our culture. We do it normally. We
right.
take care of the aina, you know. And what you described was exactly what I called ahupua'a resource management plans. That's the way the kupuna took care of the aina. Ahupua'a style, yeah? Ahupua'a by Ahupua'a. So, there's a plan already.
Mm-hmm.
If we could just follow it. And it takes sacrifice for some people. But if you know your Ahupua'a, then, you know, you can clean that out if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And replace with people that will malama aina and aloha aina. Mm-hmm. And follow the protocols of the whole living system within there, especially to protect the water.
Yeah, the one thing that that Uncle Liko always says, and I think you said it might be related to Hanalei, where we are very close to, and just where that you know, patriotism, when we talk about, you know, patriotism, which is aloha aina,
aloha,
you know, it's really different than the kind of nationalism in colonial countries that create war. You know, when we talk about patriotism, we're talking about, how did you say it? Be loyal to the river.
That's Uncle Vince always
yeah.
used to say. You always don't be loyal to the river, Liko. Be loyal to the river. So...
And that's where we were down
another
there.
Thing he was saying too, you know, during the time of the ancestors, one day he says, you know, they won't know until the well runs dry.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's the case.
And I don't think it just pertains to water. When spirit of humanity, you know, becomes so rigid and it becomes so, you know, it's just.
Failure.
But anyway,
failure.
Yeah, the water is beautiful there, so.
Right.
Yeah, why wait? You know, so, but I don't know. We write songs. We get some songs about water. Lani, would you like to sing something?
Yeah, let's do water. Let's do water.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to hear more, yeah.
Okay, the water.
Water is what unites us all.
Okay.
Speaking of when, you know, they won't know until the well runs dry.
Yeah.
So this song was written, came one day, not written, it just came, you know, and I just wrote it down. It was in Kawa. Kawa and Kau, where
Uncle Abel
Moses lived on watch, and I was blessed to be able to live there with in and out with them for 10 years. So I was staying down by the pond you know.
Blessings to Uncle Abel. I love him.
Carry water, all the mineral water in the morning time. You watch the sun come up and you open your eyes and the water is just like all minerals coming out. So we would carry the buckets of water. And I mean, we were having some pretty good. Within 10 days, you could pick a bulong leaf and take it to market.
Oh,
wow. That was a beautiful soil right there by the ocean. Fresh water and salt water in the marsh. So eventually learned the salt water and fresh water mix to plant haloa, plant taro. Not too much pocket rot. And it stays in the ground. I had bunlong, which is Chinese taro, was in the ground over 3 years. It didn't rot.
Wow.
But anyway, so one day I'm carrying them. You know, you just fall in love with your kids. You know, you plant them, the more you water them, the bigger they grow. And the soil is like all over the place. So I carry in these buckets, and all of a sudden I'm going, So I keep walking, I go back, and I walk over there by the well, and I scoop down by the second one. So I'm going, pretty soon I'm like in fairyland with these buckets, and I knew what was happening. A song was coming, about to come. So I put down, as you know, being a song crafter, you know, it's just like when enough, you stop everything and you deliver the baby, so to speak, you know. So I ran back to the tent, said, I need more paper, anything, where's a pencil? Boom, boom, sat down, and this when this song came. In fact, we got to sing it up at, so, you know, for Abel, Moses, people of Kau, you know, the story, Uncle is fine. I mean, Uncle is...
He went occasionally
a couple weeks ago when somebody was... They needed to have oversight, I guess.
Can't live without it, and I hate to see it. Tracks along the bridge, the sound of pitter patter falling on the tin water. Water. People free. Pharaoh answered, said they belong to me. Until that judgment day when the final act is done. Now and forever, there is one thing that we need. Oh. Oh.
Once again, you're listening to Kauai Community Radio. This is Equally Sovereign, and we got Uncle Lico Martin and Auntie Haulani Teal in the studio today with, again, Auntie Punani Rogers. Mahalo for bringing them here. Yeah, and again, mahalo for joining us as well, Michael Moksha. And I'm just going to take a quick break here. Once again, you're listening to Kauai Community Radio.
Common Ground Incubator, a business development program to collaboratively revitalize a diversified and sustainable agricultural economy in Hawaii. Develop your business and strategic growth goals during instructional sessions beginning July 28th through September 29th. Common Ground Incubator, cultivating the next generation of Hawaii-based food and beverage entrepreneurs to establish Hawaii as a food innovation hotspot. Applications and more information at commongroundkauai.com/incubator.
Mahalo, Auntie!
All right. right, guys. Thank you so much for such nine music.
I like the instrumentality, too.
Yeah. Mahalo.
May I ask a question, Uncle Inko? Where did you get that technique? Like, the way you're playing is very unique. And I wonder how you picked that up. That right hand,
it's
especially.
I don't know.
I think you know.
You made it up.
I love to touch and do projects on the land. Mm-hmm. Can work with stone from very young. And also, you know, sometimes when I love to wash dishes, warm water. Why I do that? Because when I went to high school, I used to help out in the cafeteria so I could get lots of and free lunch. So it was always, same, you know.
Dishwasher, man.
Yeah. I wrote some really amazing songs. In fact, I'll sing one.
Yeah.
Up there. You remember the one that. So here I'm on Kauai, actually.
Uh-huh.
It was at the time when Mahalani Pariam in the national park.
Right.
Family just said, you know, we've had enough of this. We can't dig, we can't fix a house. We keep telling us we can't cut a tree, we can't, uh-huh, we can't touch them. Juan, what are you doing? We're over it.
Yeah.
They put up a sign and let the national park know, hey, termination of contract ready, you know. You guys stay over there, and you guys stay over there, behave, you know. Don't bring trouble across the wall. So I would go back and forth, and I was, you know, kind of with the family. It was a remarkable story of love letters, as Mahalani Pai and I used to call it. Because we had no returns, we had nothing. It was just the obvious. It was like a very classic black and white cowboy movie. You know? And so I'm back on Kauai, and sure enough, they'd come in with this, and then everything they did, it always backfired on them. And we didn't, you know, and one thing was not getting sucked in how to actually letting them aboard your ship, which is like a ship at sea. And some of the boats in Hawaiian waters, like Captain Ohai one time told the crew member over there, if the Coast Guard comes and throws their rope and says, request permission to come aboard, I'll throw you off the boat.
Wow.
Because it's that, you know, so you gotta be. But anyway, what were we talking about?
Well, that maritime law is like a core of sovereignty when you're on that ship.
But
we're talking about your technique on the guitar, and what you said to me, I heard, is that you have always been very engaged in Malama Aina and the land and stone, and so when you touch this guitar, you explore the nature of this guitar, and so you also are just interacting. Just the same as you would with the land.
You know, exactly.
It's beautiful. It's very natural.
So I was washing this. I was up Kahuna Road. We lost the village at Anahola. So, you know, I mean, okay. Here we are. We didn't even need a car over there. Now we're out. Okay. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go back to look for Dr. De La Peña at the experimental station. I'll go see what he's doing with the taro. Fortunately, he just got back from a Pacific groups of over almost 250 varieties he had planted.
Oh my gosh.
And gathered. Yeah. So that's where I ended up, in the middle of cattle country. I was lucky.
University,
you know. So I'm sitting there washing dishes one day, and Makaleha, you know, Makaleha Mount's right over there. So I'm sitting there, and of course, you know, like sovereignty, the issue, like anybody's issue, whether you know, Beirut, you live on Abdel, whatever it is, it's just like it's a cooking show. You got the ingredients, what you got, and maybe it's in the presentation or something like that. You know what I mean? You know?
I like that one.
So anyway, this beautiful song, and I love it. And the voice actually came, when it came to me, it said, "Do I tell it like this, Lico? It's like that. It's just as clear as that, you know." Mm-hmm.
I'm begging of you, please restore your pride and dignity. Love letters, I am told, were sent a long time ago. I'm waiting for an answer, please, to love letters from the Queen. Love letters from her heart, tell me someday we will go on back, and we'll be happy playing in the sun. Papa working the tarot patch. Oh, love letters from her heart, tell me someday we will never part. Until then, until we meet again, take these love letters from
dishwashing can do.
The dishwashing song.
Yeah.
How about doing that With Your Man or High song? My favorite. How about Iloa? We gotta pick up the bass here. Okay. Get a little lively.
What about the red ribbon? You wanna sing something?
Me? About that letter?
Lani is, you know, is songwriter and storyteller and song, amongst whole many other things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen her through the years and playing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's really a privilege, you know, an honor to sing with you, Laulani.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
mahalo.
Love to hear her sing soft, you know, Windward Wind coming in. Sing us a sweet one.
Well, why don't I sing...
just to bring one of the struggles from Oahu, you know, that we have on Oahu to here. Hey, Kaimi, how's it?
Kaimi just kindly.
Oh, so good to see Kaimi.
Aloha, brother.
Aloha.
All right. We're having a little honey moment where... Oh, mahalo, mahalo.
You brought some beautiful lace.
Mahalo, mahalo. Kaimi Hamasura from Waimiha. Aloha Aina practitioner and Konohiki.
Hi.
Is here and has arrived at the studio just so that the listeners know what's happening.
We'll get another chair for Michael.
Yeah.
Come, Kaimi, Michaelo. Let a circle get in big, huh?
Okay, so maybe now that Kaimi is here, maybe the time in the interest of time, maybe okay. We should move to.
Oh yeah, well, are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I know. So just if you'd like to share some.
We want to know how
and, you know.
I know.
Sing us a song. Would you like to sing a song? Huh?
Oh yeah.
Would you like to?
After
Alcohol. Tell us, for at least for those who wouldn't know, my relationship with Kaimi is I'm from Oahu and live Kama'aina to the Valley of Waimiha. Mm-hmm. And I watched them grow and keep their heritage alive. And I've seen them struggle. I've seen them, every imaginable... interference and stuff, and of course some of the things too, they allow you to find the high ground and center yourself. We all grow in the movement, and try to make the adjustments and stuff. But Kaimi, aloha to you and ohana doing the things you do.
Mahalo uncle, mahalo auntie nani and auntie laulani for being here.
Yeah.
So Akua got me over here and got to make sure I see this.
I know.
Love you guys.
I felt the same way when I heard that they were on Kauai, man. I went rushing to go and find them. So we're very blessed to have their presence here. They've been here since Friday. I wanted also to mention that what happened on Friday, because the Alakoko organizational group, the ones that are malaming the fish pond, the local Ika, are putting up murals on Crest Street, on the Crest building. They're doing panels, and so it's almost
beautiful,
completely finished, but we wanted more, it was more Maoli concepts, Maoli concept kind of thing, so... That's why they were here with the OPO group, to meet that group, the Kamawailu Alani, they call themselves, organization. And so anybody that can hear my voice, go check it out, Chris Street, on the right side. If you're driving to Hamura's, and oh, I know everybody goes to Hamura's. That's why I was there, too. So mahalo for coming over for that.
Oh, Kamawailu Alani. Yeah. We should definitely play Kamawailu Alani.
Okay. Oh, this is a great story of me. Malini to Kauai.
All right.
Okay. Come and back in the 70s, I was down in Hanalei and I was went taken to a fellow's house. His name was Laka Morton.
Oh, my friend. My best friend.
And so as we're coming down the driveway, Lower Hanalei, just when you first go in, one of the houses in the back, and some bushes coming in, kind of low kind, and I see this vine coming, kind of snaking through the, kind of up above, and like one chandelier. I look at the thing coming in, and it's this It's almost like a like an octopus in the like a jellyfish in the bushes. Hmm. And it goes upside down like a sunflower and it drops its pod. And then it keeps going. So I went in to visit Laka, and when he came here to the islands of what, you know, he learned all about the shells. Walking into his house was like walking into Neptune's world.
Exactly.
Really, great wow. painter. Every little thing that you wouldn't think, anything, just like this mosaic of things. So when I left, he handed me two songs, two poems.
Oh.
One of which was called Kamavailu Alani.
Oh. Hmm. Do people Alani. Know what that word, the meaning of that word is?
Well, Auntie, do you think I'm hearing, they know? You know, I mean, I didn't grow up knowing all the meanings
I
of
didn't
the language.
Know about that word yeah. either.
Kamavailu Alani, the ancient name of
Kauai.
Kauai, yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
understanding. You heard that too,
Kai. Yeah, and my daughter Kagami that does one of the you know recordings. We named her after
the one
in
that
honor of yeah. Her middle name is actually Vailu Alani, okay. But so we took the comma out. But
Vailu Alani, yeah.
Yeah, with the D W A E though. Yeah, it's W A E, not
it is.
Not like Wailua. Like
it's not
yeah.
the water is Vailu.
Yeah,
Vai.
Between.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The middle.
Yeah. Okay.
Middle.
All right, Uncle. You have your song.
So a couple of years later.
Come away, yeah.
You know, sometimes they just come. I do that in life, and so this is a song that.
Amazing.
And the Painui brothers recorded the song.
Oh.
I sing it a little bit different because I put a little minor chord, kind of take it back to Kahiko.
All right,
Kahiko chord.
Thank you. expected ending.
So that's to laughter, you know.
Wow.
Songs and, you know, and yeah, now hear the name, you know, coming back
yes,
all the way.
Right.
And all of them. Yeah, each word.
I want to know the real originality of that word, that name.
Come away, little.
How long ago was that happening, you know? Way in there, I don't know.
Is it in the Kumulipo? I thought it was.
Oh.
In the Kumulipo.
Okay. Maybe you can bring that up.
I'm not 100%, but.
And what does it really mean?
I mean, my understanding is it's
something
referencing.
Heaven.
Well, it's referencing the birth of Kauaia to, I don't know which of the, you know, the gods that were
the
involved.
Deities,
yeah, it was. You know, there were some.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get it wrong. So you know, no. Papa Wakea, and then there was you
right,
know
the
story. Yeah, and uh-huh. So it's a reference to the divinity of the creation of Kauai, because it's Kamawailolani Moku is the full name. Yeah, so
oh.
Talking about a child island between, I'm assuming, between two divine forces. Yeah, that's what I thought it meant. So you know, because sky and like earth and sky, and then that's how the islands are like in between. Yeah,
yeah? Right.
Yeah, so that's my understanding of it.
Maybe excuse
me. Makes
yeah. And now from Papa and Wakea.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Yeah.
That's how I understand it. Because that's how, you know, a Hawaiian was going to understand their landscape, yeah, based on connection to the very beginning, which you get to revisit that every day, and not just a story, yeah. It's a real thing that every time you. Whatever you do,
an adventure.
You're reliving it. Yeah, you're retelling the story whenever you're in the kalo field, whenever you're making music, whenever you're making babies. You know, you're reliving the same story again and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, what else is there?
Yeah.
What else is there? Everything else is just complication. Yeah.
Right.
Well, here something. Michael pulled something off the internet. It looks like in the middle of the circle in the sky, it says Kamawailulani is at the center of all that we do. We believe that in order to ensure Kauai's continued survival, we must nanaikikumu, look to the source. We must look to our kanaka oivi, ancestral knowledges, values, and practices if we are to be economically, environmentally, and culturally self-sustaining in our increasingly globalized and colonized world. So that was somebody's point of view. So,
right.
Yeah, I definitely support that.
I think that's the Kamawai Lualani organization, yeah?
Oh, it is.
Is it?
It's coming from
the OPA. Is that what we're looking
OPA.
At? Okay.
I think so. That's
there
the one that we came to work with.
So okay.
We brought the
perfect.
OPO to
yeah,
work
yeah.
with. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we got to go to vehivehi.com and get the definition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's something about the core center of the heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The heavens,
yeah.
Kind of concept.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we brought these opio from Oahu to you know, get to experience this time with the kupuna, and also to get to learn about some of the struggles. I wish they had had more time. You know, they pretty much just had time for koloa, and that was it, because they only had 2 days, really. But
yeah.
You know. Kaimi's been doing awesome work too with the opio out there, and with a lot of folks out there.
Yeah, you want to share some of that? I don't want to interrupt you guys too long, but I just want to let our listeners know that you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224 CQ Anahola, K205 FM Honolulu. But I would love to hear from any of you, but. Brother Kaimi, you showed up and didn't really get a chance to say anything. So, do you mind sharing a little bit? And then I'll probably take another short break in a few minutes.
Niha.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
Well, aloha mai kako. Mahalo for having me here and allowing me to speak. And on behalf of our ohana today, and the gods. But it's a interesting circle that we all take. We stay doing all kinds of stuff on the land. We trying, and we've been making headway with our nonprofit organization that we created along the way. It's called the Koniki Restoration Project, and we're actually based out in Wainiha at the Lo'i, and that's like our home base. But we continue to work with Ohana and, you know, best service our people to a style that was created by you guys. They kind of try to help the Ohanas understand and learn about Kuli on the land.
Konohiki lands.
And it's been interesting. And learning so much, yeah. But it's just beautiful how intelligent our people were in the past. For
they set it up for us.
For this, their arrangement and their system that they created, you know, and literature as well. And that is somewhat can be the blockage of families today, is, you know, in the in-between worlds of modern-day technology and ancient know-how and, subsistence living. So, yeah, in the past, we have several board members, and they've been a special mission to go about this way of educating families and Ohana how to understand what certain interests that we have according to the land, culture, and the mountains.
And feeding the people, too.
Feeding the people, and of course, each other.
Yeah.
So we can enjoy and one day come to that peace that's in our mind. Right. Yeah. There's so much stuff along the way as we all individually learn about what it is to be Kanaka.
I want to go down there and see.
Big shout out to the aunties, Auntie Louise, we have Auntie Nancy Chandler.
Yes, and Auntie May and Auntie Louise.
And also my cousin Ashley Alapai. And
Ashley and
sweetheart Anaïs Wegmeister.
Anaïs, yeah.
Who've been in the big kokua for our nonprofit as we take on this world. And it's been interesting meeting a lot of people out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of families that have been getting involved, and we all just kind of growing together. Of course, we network not only across the islands but around the world with Canada and the native peoples of the Coast Salish nations, and keeping in touch. And but basically, right now we're working on our classroom, which is a voyaging canoe, and then this will be something positive that we gain from the movement and. It also keeps that lifestyle alive.
Yeah, speaking of our va'a, how is our va'a?
Well, we have a lot of va'as going on, yeah. Namuhoya, I think, is still under repair.
We should be sailing that thing.
And then, Namuhoya is that taught us, you know, our ohana that gave that mana to and passed it down to us.
Yeah.
So always...
you guys will learn how.
Big aloha to them.
Yeah.
And just moving along as a people can be hard sometimes.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's still ours. And certain lifetimes that we all live in our lifetime, we get to go back and tell a story. Even now, you can go back and tell a story now of how things used to be and was. And,
even you can now.
And
now,
you know, so it's like interesting coming from this perspective. And also, just trying to
make them move all together.
Who's crying?
That's my keiki in the other room, I think.
Really?
I think,
yeah.
I think one of the really important things, if you don't mind me saying, you know, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the really important things about the work that Kaimi is doing is that, you know, what he's describing here is the, let's call it the front end of the work, which is the, you know, the actual planting of the kalo, the teaching of the keiki, the you know, taking care of the va'a and making it saleable of the many va'a, you know, all that is the aspect of the work that we think of as cultural work. But I think that what is really, really important to understand is that in order for him to do that work, he has to be a warrior two times as much as doing that work, because at every single one of those turns, there's somebody stopping the water, there's somebody trying to kick him off the land, there's somebody stopping the va'a from going, you know, or whatever the case may be. You know, these are the things that are not being said when you hear about these cultural practices and the konohiki, you know, work that's being done. This is but one part of the work, and the really hard part, the part with the heartbreak and the part with the, you know, the danger and the part with the really, really, really difficult part, that without which Aloha Aina cannot exist in its true form, is what Kaimi also embodies. And I would say a good two-thirds of the work that he's doing and the effort that he's putting into the lahui is in that form, is in that warrior side, you know, which is not as easy to talk about. It's not as appreciated. It doesn't get grants. It doesn't get, you know, it doesn't get respect a lot of times from people who are like kind of mainstream in the culture, honestly. And I just want to say that I think that's why these kupuna here really appreciate people like Kaimi, because they know. And, you know, and not everybody does know, but people should know that this is truly what it takes, you know, that kalo does not grow by itself. It doesn't grow just by being planted either. It grows through battles that nobody sees, that nobody knows about, and then the work is done.
Well, mahalo for highlighting that, which a lot of people do not even consider. I just want to add one thing, you know, to add to that, sometimes doing the work, and maybe you can attest to this, Kaimi, because in my experience, one of the most painful things is when we have to go against our own people as the people that's kind of throwing wrenches inside the system, you know, and when you're trying to do something for your culture, and then it, this kanaka that are being hired to like to go against you, that's like, that's really where we get into the realm of war crime, yeah, because I mean to do this as it is so difficult, but to see your own kanaka in uniform or driving the excavator or shutting off the water, telling you got to get out of here, that's a really painful process. And I think people kind of underestimate what it takes to keep doing what you're doing when there's other kanaka that are being hired against you. Yeah, and so that's a really, I can see all that emotion in you, and I really respect that you're, you know, keeping up the fight. Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, our ohanas taught us well, and what we had in the past is just beautiful, and you know, we like make that available to the future, and people to experience this abundance. And you know, amongst all the hardships and everything, you know, it really takes you to be in this kahiko realm. And you know, a lot of forgiveness and prayers and pule, and sometimes it can be uncomfortable for people, but that's what I was passed down from my ohana, my family, and that's what shall keep us going.
And Kaimi is also an awesome musician.
Yes.
When he has the time, amongst everything else.
Absolutely.
If you feel called to share music, I would love to hear that. Right.
I can just sing along. We'll do a sing along, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
Is it okay if I just take another quick break and then we'll come back to that when if you guys are ready for that? So
sure.
Yeah, just want to let you guys know that you are listening to Kauai Community Radio, and this is Equally Sovereign. Equally Sovereign is made possible by KKCR's sustaining members in partnership with Healing Horses and Island Roots Yard Care.
Healing Horses Kauai Summer Horsemanship Camp, July 18th through the 22nd. Riding, grooming and tacking, leadership skills, and more for kids 4 to 14 years old. Upcoming Healing Horses events include a new volunteer orientation for adults on July 23rd and a community cleanup event, followed by an advanced volunteer training on the 24th. More information at healinghorseskauai.org. Support provided by Hawaii Tourism through the Community Enrichment Program.
Island Roots Yard Care, offering licensed island-wide Aina EK yard maintenance and restoration, tree trimming, landscaping, grading, and more. Island Roots, Ke Koho Ana Ona Kama Aina, 855-5593 for estimates, or Island Roots Yard Care on Facebook.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR's staff, board members, volunteers, or underwriters.
All right, guys. Thanks for bearing with me. The floor is yours.
Song entitled Nani Kawaii that we all know.
Yay!
We try them out. Uncle Nico on the guitar. I did all Nani on the ukulele.
Right.
I did all Nani.
Aina iya mai panakapu.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Was that a phone call?
It was, but I could not hear them speaking at all.
Oh, what happened?
They tried to call back, but I could not hear them.
Oh.
So we had a bad connection.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Yes, usually... Sometimes the phone calls are difficult to get on clear when we have so many other mics on and stuff. So
that's why overload.
Yeah. Like I usually I play in C, but we do them in G this time. One for the Queen.
Oh, right on.
O Makalapua.
Ati
Laulani, you want to share a little bit about what this song means?
This is a name song for Queen Liliʻuʻu Kalani. So Makalapua is a song for her. It's about, describes the flowers of her garden and all the kauna within. Mm-hmm. And it is her garden, Uluha Malama, and... you know, her name is Kamaka Eha, which is the sore eyes, you know, and even Liliʻuʻu Kalani refers to the soreness, you know, of the monarch, of the heavens. And this came from a difficulty that Regent Kinaʻu was having at the time of her birth. But, you know... Mm. It's kind of carried into the story, because you know, it carried into the story of the weeping of that she had, and for the and of the people too. But Makalapua is about you know, an honor song for her, and it describes all of the different flowers, the people with the basket of flowers, the goddess Lia. Who is a goddess of lei making, who is famous for the area around Mauna Wili, where she had one of her homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great song for a great queen.
And was written by...
You know, I've never known who the author was, because it was written when she was just a keikia, so...
Oh, okay, it's anonymous. All right. Okay, Kaimi.
O Makalapua Uluma Iye Iye O Kalei O Kamakaea No Kamakaea Kavahine ki hene pua hene ki hoi Yeah.
Oh, we got about a half hour left.
Right.
Yeah. So
you
guys can play more music or we can talk some more.
I think one thing I would like to say about that, because when we're honoring Queen Liliʻuokalani, you know, just in the terms of the theme of this show, mm-hmm. you know, when we're talking about community power and you know, and kind of leveling the hierarchies, and at the same time honoring those like the queen, like Kaimi, you know, those who hold the people's interest, you know, the ability to facilitate the ability of the people to do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very different idea than this kind of, like, you know, foreign power domination where power is power over people.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm. tell them what to do.
This is a power that empowers. Mm-hmm. You know, it empowers people to work together, for people to stand together, for people to be what we think of as a nation, which in our concept of Aloha Aina is one people who are connected to the same land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, so anyway, I just wanted to throw that idea in there, because that is one thing that really sets Queen Liliʻuokalani apart from other concepts of royalty, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this idea of, you know, hierarchical structure and all of that, you know,
right.
is really that she was, the reason that she was overthrown was because she truly was a voice of the people, you know, and she facilitated the will of the people, which, you know, is, which she saw as sacred.
Mm.
And so, you know, and Kaimi, who's playing the song, he also does that in his everyday walk of life, you know. And so I just wanted to bring that forward.
Yeah, no, mahalo for noting
and
that.
And I would say that you two do the same as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mahalo and Uncle
Ika. And you, yeah. Auntie Nani.
We keep pushing the wheel, don't we?
Should we do the Hawaii Loa?
Please.
Auntie Nani's been requesting.
Oh, my Kai. This is the famous, famous anthem of Hawaii.
Yeah, because when we talk about we shall stand together as a nation, you know, it is really a... that's really what it's about, you know?
Yeah. You need a moment to
reunified.
You guys need a moment to tune. I'm gonna just take a quick pause and then we'll
go
come
ahead.
Back. Yeah,
we'll do the station break.
Yeah, just real quick. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Perfect.
Yeah. So you listen to Quiet Community Radio, and this is Equally Sovereign. Halepuna Farmers Market, every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. under the old monkey pod tree at 9567 Huaka'i Road in Waimea Town. Fresh fruits, vegetables, eggs, and specialty baked goods from Koke'e Lodge. Now accepting SNAP, EBT, and Da Bucks. More info at halepuna.org.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the speaker and do not represent those of KKCR's staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
All right. Yeah, well, I had them all. I put them all on, yeah. That was Zayden. Yeah.
Alrighty. Okay, Uncle Go. How about you,
Lord? Uncle Go, man. Yeah. Pick up the beat. This is the second half of Cuba.
Yeah.
I'm actually gonna take this and just film because the picture might be better than the ukulele right now.
I gotta give you a baton.
Pepper.
Kila,
right on the Hulua slide.
Oh, yes.
Watch out, stand back. He's coming around the corner over here.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. What a treat.
Yeah. That one's in the
nice to be here.
Halls of history. That's on the archives already. Yep.
Thanks to Dano and Tipilahi Paki.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I was heading back to Honau now after I was kind of missing, you know, after for everything. I called Don one day. We became real good friends at the height of the cold, everything. When I was missing Honau now, I'd call him. I don't know. You know, we were talking about getting the recording, and he was like, I don't know about that thing, but he said, write us a song, Liko. You know, leave us something. And a few hours later, took the song down to his dressing room, and
and
Tipilahi, right? We were sitting in King Street with Koi Puna at the Hawaiian Coalition of Native Claims, which was the first organization headed by Koi Puna Regime to get major funding to actually send notable people like John Van Dyke, even Melody McKenzie and them writers, to go to the Congress, Library of Congress, and find the story of what happened in 1893. So to Kwaipuna Pajin and all of the people who finally accumulated and that information and then went down, my job was get the permit for the gazebo. And that's all. The rest is history. But from that time, that's where we're here. Something that no one could talk about.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the thing is, not only we couldn't know, but general society couldn't know either. So, you know, we have to keep that in mind, too, going forward. Like a friend of mine said, you know, someone had come to Brazil, like Jim too, and said, oh, this guy, he's, you know, take us down the trail. And he looks out and he says, well, yeah, if you can cut the fish without making it bleed, you know. Yes, and that's, and then so, so I thought about that. It's kind of a riddle.
Yeah.
One night, one of the fire, I mean, it's, you know, I didn't know if I got it, but it's just like, well, you're not going to cut the fish, you got to feed the fish.
Oh, yeah.
So, this happens to deal with where do we go now in our society? In Hawaii? Okay, we got all this pressure. How much can you compress something before it explodes? Okay? That's what Hawaii is under now. And so where do we go then if imploding is not going to be, and we see already the imploding, and you know, then you have like, what do you call that, the Big Bang Theory?
Mm-hmm.
And you have people leaving Hawaii, the Kanaka, just, you know, like this,
Diana,
you know, because it's just, you know, it's heartbreak, you know, to see one day the pine trees are there, and the next morning they're down on the ground, and the bulldozers are up, and the whole family, and everybody's got to move, and sorry, Ohana, you can't camp here during the summer anymore.
Mm.
These are the things, you know, so we go forward and share the information, but to me, and the most, bringing out like Queen Star, okay, Queen. So in her autobiography, which maybe she wrote partly when we went, like when she went in Jane autobiography, she talks about the little garden of Naboth, so far from the shores of where the honest Americans are, that they should not covet the little garden, lest the punishment of Ahab fall upon them. Okay. And because Naboth's garden was meant to be neutral ground in time of war. You know, the last visit we went up in Naulani in the seventh generation stuff, we go to all the tribes. I mean, this isn't anything that we would go to play to treat it, and just because it's a human rights thing. It's a human thing, you know. People missing and murdered, and people don't have family, and so they start making runs and doing all kinds of things. But what came to my mind was, before I left, because usually we got our own road show, you know, and was like, well, Iko, everybody has to dance. Everybody has a story. How do we live in peace? What is the greatest thing that we need to challenge within ourselves? As Sidney Bailey, 40 years, he wrote the procedures for the United Nations Security Council. Imagine being in that kind of position. And he says that peace begins within yourself. You know, practicing your family, your friend, in your leisure, in your workplace. But peace is not a destination. Peace is a process. Mm-hmm. And
it's ongoing too. It's forever. You have to work it.
Even within oneself, like this.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I was watching a documentary on a lady woman named Grace Lee, or Grace, and she was a Chinese woman, moved into the Black community, you know, and just in the place, Detroit, and everything, and she's old, she had all these kind of people. She says, hey, growing old is a tough job, you know, staying alive, and watching change happen. And she used to talk about, you would change for an epoch. You know, if you can envision change for an epoch, sometimes you can envision change for years, and this is the kind of, you know, but the things that like sometimes it's heard, the books say 1,000 years of forest, 1,000 years of city. So, but anyway. Wow, this is really nice to see you here, talk story. See you, Kayumi.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Songs.
Anybody got any questions?
We got about maybe 10 minutes. Just want to let the listeners know that we have Good Times Radio coming up at 6 o'clock with Radio Annie. But until then, we're here with our lovely Kupuna and Kanaka Maoli people, and just enjoying ourselves on here on Kauai Community Radio. This is Equally Sovereign.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And I've been holding this question for a long time since you started reading your whole thing before. And you mentioned something about universal law, remember? And something you read there?
The universal right?
The universal right.
Yeah.
What was the context again, Terry?
I think I was talking about self-determination and, you know, the universe and human rights and our universal rights that's, you know, under international law.
What are universal rights?
human rights, right? Like the right to dignity and to have meaningful subsistence kind of thing. That's, you know, that's a right.
The right to be protected from abuse, the right to practice culture, to have your identity.
The right to
infect the indigenous
to govern ourselves and not have alien, you know, peoples governing over you and you know.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about the creator of the universe, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking more cosmos, more that kind of universal laws.
Well, there's that too.
Am I right in thinking that, or what?
No, Nani. One time in 1982, I was invited up to the Navajo Wash up in Black Mesa, where the Peabody coal mine was there taking the coal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a powwow, right? And lucky we came with a whole bunch of food, and they didn't have food. It was perfect, you know. Then the question was, well, do we have 2 tents or 1 tent? And everybody said, well, let's have just 1 tent, and we'll be out of some protocol. The very beginning, a representative from the UN came, and Minchu Dusan said, the United Nations would like to know I have a question. If you had a law, if you could write it down, what would it be? If you have some like a declaration, resolution, convention, all these kinds of things. And on the third day, so on the first day, there was the gentleman who owned the place, you know, came in and cannot speak, gotta have interpreter, he brings his tobacco, he sits down in the middle, that's automatic. I'm up next. So then he tells the story of the prophecies that he would not believe them or believe them, but he said the prophecies of the elders was coming true. The conflict would come, and then the new holy people would be coming. And he talks about the prophecy. And so on the third day, the elders come back and they delivered what was taken, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I would still need to find something like this. By that represents the declaration of natural law. Mm. It's the most beautiful thing that I had ever, you know, it was just all things, all people. Mm-hmm. Natural law. Well, you know, you drink your water's gone. The forest is boom, you know, people go, people come. Things change, but it was really, really beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, and in fact, I asked one of the members, longtime members, Tony Gonzalez, with the International Indian Treaty Council, which Kwai Puno used to work with closely at a time when, just before his untimely passing, was in a position to have the United Nations do a treaty violation study. I think, you know, really it's like the awakening with the Queen story and what it is for everyone. It's like you in the world, let's play with a full deck. Are we playing with a full deck of cards? No. There are all the cards there, and so this is important in going forward, you know, make sure all the cards, and we're playing the right game now. You know, it's my self-determination, not yours. In the first place. You know what I mean? All the things like that. But so pretty exciting going forward, because the venue shifts. Like Nani, what you showed me today with the hearings in Washington, D.C. under the Native American Graves Repatriation Act. Okay? The venues, like Hawaiian Homes, you have the venues. Mm-hmm. Different things happen in different places. And sometimes it becomes necessary. It becomes, you know, practical for addressing something that you can't address within a certain area, that you go down to the venue. I'm going to the, to get, you know, I'm not watching black and white anymore. I'm going to go watch in color. You know, to say a kind of a soft metaphor of, because what the thing is, and then how you look at stuff, how knowing what it's saying, looking at it closely. And of course, it's like the old story about a beaver. Once he gets hit in a trap, he'll never go back to one again.
Oh.
Knowing where not to go going forward is important. Mm-hmm. You
know. Mahalo, Uncle. Yes. So that is in relation to what is universal law, yeah?
Yeah. Right.
Universal law. Okay. Yeah.
Should we close with one last song? We have time for one song. It sounds like a yes.
Yeah. Right on. Okay. Glad with the song, you know, man. This song.
Mahalo ke ahi and Michael for having us.
Yes.
Okay. Mahalo you guys for joining us.
It's a nice
song. the other folks in here might not know the song, but just sing along with it anyway. Especially the chorus. It's really a beautiful Uncle Lico song.
Okay.
About the beautiful earth.
Oh.
Again, it was inspired being done in Koala.
Right.
Milky Way, you know, just, you touch it.
Oh, the Milky Way.
Sky is my room. Earth is my bed, and the rain and the woods and the stones, and the tones are my friend. The ocean is so vast, and time. You are the child of your dreams. How can you make it last? It's a good earth, and this can be a good life, and this can be the right. Dragonflies entwine so serenity and peace did I find burning deep within the fire of the good
Yeah.
melody and peace will I find burning within the fire.
Mahalo.
We're done. Mahalo, guys. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening, to the listeners. Sorry if you guys were trying to call and couldn't get through. You've been listening to Kauai Community Radio. This is Ikui Sovereign, and mahalo, Uncle Liko, for joining us, and Auntie Laulani. Mahalo for Kaimi, brother. Thank you, and Auntie Rogers.
Mahalo, Kekua.